Welcome to Nowhere to Run with Christopher White.
Chris in Tennessee, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Nowhere to Run. My name is Chris. Thank you for tuning in. We've got what I feel a very important show for you today, so we're just going to jump right into it and see what we can find out. We're going to talk, first of all, about the what's being called the Russian-Georgian conflict. The date today is August 14th, 2008, and so we're going to talk about that conflict and what we can see happening right now, and we're going to also try to find out what's really happening versus what the news media is saying, because I think that the truth in the matter is important to understanding the second part, and that is talking about Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39 in the Bible and the prophecies there about what's called the Gog-Magog War sometimes. And we're going to look and try to study that and see what that is talking about. And I'm certainly not suggesting that this Russian-Georgian conflict is the what's prophesied in Ezekiel, but I think that we can see a little bit down the line in the future and kind of make some conclusions and about what's happening there. And we're also going to very specifically look at the alliances discussed in Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39 and compare them to the alliances being forged right now in the news, and we're going to look into that very closely. So, okay, let's first talk about what we can tell is happening with this Georgian-Russian conflict. And if you listen to the news, you'll basically hear Cold War talk. And I think this is interesting for a lot of reasons. One is because so many things have happened in the last few years that have been really serious provocations by Russia, and, you know, claims to nuke us, and, you know, this, you know, a lot of things that have not been reported about Russia for a long, long time, that it seems like, why aren't we reporting that? You know, that was a pretty serious provocation. But all of a sudden, out of nowhere, in the last few weeks, you started hearing stuff about them setting up, you know, again, the Cuban Missile Crisis reborn and all this stuff. So there's this, again, kind of 1984, you know, be scared of Russia thing that all of a sudden just really, really happened again. And what's interesting about this is this conflict seems to have been provoked by Georgia, who is kind of, from what I can tell, is a puppet regime set up because of a lot of this business with a pipeline that goes through Georgia is extremely crucial in this for this pipeline. And that's why it was probably targeted and why it's so important that NATO wanted it. And same thing with Turkey. It's just as important of Turkey, which borders to the west of Georgia, and as crucial, if not more crucial than Georgia. But anyway, we'll get into that in just a second. But Georgia provoked the attack on Russia, but that wasn't reported. All that was reported was the retaliation of Russia to that attack. And so then you have the White House and everybody coming out and rebuking Russia and everything, and giving aid, you know, news headlines today, aid arrives to Georgian, you know, refugees and all this stuff, you know, like, again, it's just total propaganda and nothing like what really happened. But if you look at it like, I mean, this was, if we really did control this, and it seems that Georgia's military budget increased 30 times in the last 5 years, when, and you have people talking about how, you know, this was the reason the increase was done was because for attacking Russia. And if somebody is controlling Georgia and provoking Russia into doing this, and for the possible reason of creating a broader conflict, people like Zbigniew Brzezinski saying that World War III must be started in this region, and we'll look in a minute. What I think is interesting about that in Ezekiel 38 and 39 is how it talks about Russia having hooks put in its jaws and drug into this conflict. Now, first of all, we'll quickly look at the pipeline. This pipeline has been pretty much the cause of every war that we've seen here lately. I mean, obviously there are a lot bigger causes for the wars, but there's always a connection in addition to those causes, with this pipeline that goes from the extremely, if not the most oil-rich area, which is under the Caspian Sea, and it starts in Azerbaijan and goes through a lot of nations there, including Georgia and Turkey, and then it ends up in the southwest corner of Turkey into another sea where it can be picked up by barges and stuff. So this is a pipeline that Hitler even dreamed about. This is a big deal. But part of this is that this is actually cutting Russia out of the deal here, because Russia actually borders most of the Caspian Sea, borders in Russian territory. So it's kind of a sore deal there, to say the least, apparently. Now you have a big deal with Georgia calling for a new world order when it was crying about, like, oh, wow, you know, this, I can't believe this happened. Big bad Russia did this. All we want is a new world order, blah, blah, blah. And you have the president, Nicolas Sarkozy, president of the European Union, you know, stepping in trying to make some kind of peace deal, which apparently did not fly. But, you know, kind of, again, I don't know what's all going on with that. Again, the details on this stuff is so sketchy right now, and I'm sure it'll all play out just a little bit here in a few days. But so we're just going to kind of leave that where it is as far as what's going on there. But I do think the main part that you need to know is that Russia was provoked by a puppet regime that's being controlled by, we'll call them the New World Order, provoked Russia into this attack, and all that was reported was Russia's retaliation of that, and then a widespread demonization of Russia, painting it as this, aggressor all across the world. Let's look at Ezekiel 38 and 39, and I'm going to just play this compilation of Ezekiel 38 and 39, just put together to some Dmitri Shostakovich stuff, but I want you to pay attention to a few things in it. First of all, the alliances, I guess I'll run down some of them real quick. Magog, and Gog and Magog is generally considered to be Russia. Turkey is sometimes Meshach and Tubal. Persia is Iran. Ethiopia is Sudan. Put is Libya, and I think Libya is sometimes called out in different versions. Gomer, Turkey. Beth Tumra is Turkey. Many peoples with you, sometimes the other Islamic nations. But basically we're talking about Turkey, Iran, Sudan, Libya, Russia. And also notice it does mention Tarshish, and I think Missler makes an incredibly good case in other places where Tarshish is talking about Britain and the British Isles. So keep that in mind, because it is mentioned as well. And those are the big players here. So pay attention to that. Also think it's the hooks in your jaws. And then you're also going to hear in Ezekiel 39 about this, what seems to be a nuclear, something nuclear either happens or whatever. It actually doesn't really mean that something nuclear happened to these people, but it may have been, because it says these men of continual employment, these professionals, basically go out to bury the dead, and if somebody that's not a professional sees a dead body, they're supposed to mark it with a sign, and then these professionals will come out and dispose of the body properly. And another thing, as Chuck Missler shows and postulates in a lot of his studies of these chapters, is that they apparently use the weapons that were left after God destroys these surrounding armies. Those weapons, which can be, you know, thought of as nuclear on their end, it uses them for energy purposes for 7 years. And those fires burn for 7 years and things like that. And Chuck Missler goes into a lot of the details about the specific, you know, words and different things like that in making that connection. But, I mean, I don't know any other weapon that can be used for those kind of purposes. Because it says instead of, like, using, you know, going and cutting down timber and stuff. Also, notice that it's talking about, you know, the people in Israel, the Jewish people being brought back to the land. And all the details about that are very amazing, considering when Ezekiel wrote these prophecies, which was, you know, in the Old Testament, and having it read like a newspaper article right now. And again, keep in mind, this is not talking about what's going on with Russia and Georgia right now. This is eventually talking about whatever this may escalate to having a coalition including Iran, Iran, Russia, and Turkey, and Libya, and the Sudan, basically converging on Israel for the purpose of destroying Israel, but them being stopped in that pursuit. And so that's what we're talking about here. Not this, not what's going on right now, but this possible escalation to that. So let's go ahead and play this clip, so because we need to get this understood before we can go too much further. So here we go.
Ezekiel 38. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and I will turn thee back, and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all his bands, the house of Tagarma, of the north quarters, and all his bands, and many people with thee. Be thou prepared, and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. After many days thou shalt be visited. In the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword, and is gathered out of many people, against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste. But it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Thou shalt ascend, and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou, and all thy bands, and many people with thee. Thus saith the Lord God, It shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought, and thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls, and having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations which have gotten cattle and goods, that dwell in the midst of the land, Sheba and Dedan, and the merchants of Tarshish, with all the young lions thereof, shall say unto thee, Art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil? Therefore, son of man, prophesy, and say unto Gog, Thus saith the Lord God, In that day when my people of Israel dwelleth safely, shalt thou not know it? And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel, as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days. And I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. Thus saith the Lord God, Art thou he of whom I have spoken in old time by my servants the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring thee against them? And it shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven and the beast of the field and all creeping things that creep upon the earth and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence, and the mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother, and I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood. And I will rain upon him, and upon his bands, and upon the many people that are with him, an overflowing rain, and great hailstones, fire, and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Ezekiel 39. Therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. And I will turn thee back, and leave but the sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. And I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand, and will cause thine arrows to fall out of thy right hand. Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands, and the people that is with thee. I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. Thou shalt fall upon the open field, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. And I will send a fire on Magog, and among them that dwell carelessly in the isles, and they shall know that I am the Lord. So will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them pollute my holy name any more. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. Behold, it is come, and it is done, saith the Lord God. This is the day whereof I have spoken. And they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth, and shall set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and the bucklers, the bows and the arrows, and the handstaves and the spears, and they shall burn them with fire 7 years. So that they shall take no wood out of the field, neither cut down any out of the forests. But they shall burn the weapons with fire, and they shall spoil those that spoiled them, and rob those that robbed them, saith the Lord God. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will give unto Gog a place there of graves in Israel, the valley of the passengers on the east of the sea, and it shall stop the noses of the passengers. And there shall they bury Gog and all his multitude, and they shall call it the valley of Hamon Gog. And 7 months shall the house of Israel be burying of them, that they may cleanse the land. Yea, all the people of the land shall bury them, and it shall be to them a renown the day that I shall be glorified, saith the Lord God. And they shall sever out men of continual employment, passing through the land to bury with the passengers those that remain upon the face of the earth to cleanse it. After the end of 7 months shall they search. And the passengers that pass through the land, when any seeth the man's bone, then shall he set up a sign by it, till the buriers have buried it in the valley of Hamon Gog. And also the name of the city shall be Hamana. Thus shall they cleanse the land. And thou, son of man, thus saith the Lord God, Speak unto every feathered fowl, and to every beast of the field. Assemble yourselves and come, gather yourselves on every side to my sacrifice that I do sacrifice for you, even a great sacrifice upon the mountains of Israel, that ye may eat flesh and drink blood. Ye shall eat the flesh of the mighty, and drink the blood of the princes of the earth, of rams, of lambs, and of goats, of bullocks, all of them fatlings of Bashan. And ye shall eat fat till ye be full, and drink blood till ye be drunken, of my sacrifice which I have sacrificed for you. Thus ye shall be filled at my table with horses and chariots, with mighty men, and with all men of war, saith the Lord God. And I will set my glory among the heathen, and all the heathen shall see my judgment that I have executed, and my hand that I have laid upon them. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day and forward. And the heathen shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity, because they trespassed against me. Therefore hid I my face from them, and gave them into the hand of their enemies. So fell they all by the sword. According to their uncleanness and according to their transgressions have I done unto them, and hid my face from them. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob, and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and will be jealous for my holy name. After that they have borne their shame, and all their trespasses whereby they have trespassed against me, when they dwelt safely in their land, and none made them afraid. When I have brought them again from the people, and gathered them out of their enemies' lands, and am sanctified in them in the sight of many nations, then shall they know that I am the Lord their God, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen. But I have gathered them unto their own land, and have left none of them any more there. Neither will I hide my face any more from them. For I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Lord God.
Okay, so that's all pretty serious stuff. And if you look at a map, you'll be struck with the fact that these nations, Turkey and Russia and Georgia, Georgia kind of borders between Russia and Turkey. So, and some people postulate that Meshach is Georgia, which, you know, I don't really think there's enough stuff there, but it's a possibility. So anyway, you have Russia and Turkey to the north of Israel. To the east, you have Iran. To the south, you'll have the Sudan. To the west, you'll have Libya. And it's basically these nations are completely on all four sides surrounding Israel. So I think it's just, that's what Ezekiel 38 and 39 are saying. If nothing else, they're saying in a future time, when the Jews get back into the land after being scattered all over the place, there will be a coalition of forces led by Gog Magog, apparently, or Russia, that will cover the land like a swarm, that will try to conquer the land, and will be Israel will be miraculously delivered through earthquakes and fire and just a lot of stuff that will apparently, despite all odds, Israel will be the victor, which is pretty much the story of Israel's military victory throughout history. I mean, if you read the Bible, all those victories were just these like impossible victories, and you know, totally outnumbered and all these things. And that even goes for the recent 48 and 67 wars. There was no way for a lot of that stuff to happen. It was really miraculous, and a lot of really interesting victories happened. So that's the gist of Ezekiel 38 and 39. It's just talking about a coalition that will try to attack Israel, and they will be stopped. You know, and there's a lot of details in there. Now, so what do we see? Are these nations just chosen at random? Do Iran, Russia, Turkey, Sudan, and Libya have any current connections that have any suggestions that they are allying? And I'm suggesting that they do. And so I'm going to read to you some recent news stories that should shock you if you are paying attention to this prophecy. This news story is from today, August 14th, 2008, and it is from worldbulletin.net. I'll link it in the show notes. It says this: Turkey, Russia agree to speed up efforts for a Caucasus alliance. Turkish and Russian FMs would speed up efforts to develop the stability and cooperation platform in the Caucasus, suggested by Turkey. It says Turkish prime ministers arrived Wednesday in Moscow to hold talks with Russian officials on the conflict between Russia and Georgia over Southeast Asia. So Turkey and Russia are teaming up, and that is in the climate of this war. I mean, this is when people would be choosing sides. You know, this is when you would do it, when you start to have this this conflict starts to take shape and people are starting to talk all around the world and point fingers and choose sides. It's very interesting to have these two incredibly major players in the Ezekiel 38 and 39 prophecies, pictured here, shaking hands, saying we're going to form a Caucasus alliance. So, you know, I encourage you to read through that. That's a very interesting part of this. Obviously, another major player in this is something that we've been hearing a lot about lately, and that is Iran. I think it's been pretty evident to those that are paying attention that Iran and Russia are very much on the same side here. Russia has defended Iran's nuclear efforts and have been, in fact, supplying them with a lot of arms and things like that. And I'm not really saying whether that's good or bad. I'm just saying that there is an alliance there for sure. And of course, I mean, it's bad news because I mean, it's just bad in any way you really cut it. But anyway, so this is councilinforeignrelations.org publication talking about last year Russia surpassed the United States as a developing world's leader in arms deals, according to the new report from the Congressional Research Service. But Russia has increased military shipments to anti-U.S. states like Iran and Venezuela, not to mention potential adversaries like China. But anyway, it just goes through a big Russia-Iran arms trade. And there are other kinds of alliances here. We have it from the Mideast Times. This is from January 2nd, 2008. It's called Russia and Iran, Unfriendly Friends. And it says, To the alarm of many in the West, Russia-Iranian relations seem to improve dramatically in recent months. Appearances, though, can be deceiving. Those arguing that Russia-Iran cooperation is increasing point to three recent indicators. One was that Russia's President Vladimir Putin made his first ever visit to Tehran in October 2007. Another was a sudden ending of Moscow's unwillingness to supply Tehran with atomic fuel for its Russian-built nuclear reactor. Ostensibly because the payment dispute, but also due to strong American urging. In December 2007, when Russia made two shipments to Iran, a third was the Iranian defense minister's announcement at the end of December that Moscow would supply Tehran with advanced S-300 air defense missiles. All of these led much to the press coverage about how Putin is enabling Iran President Mohammad Ahmadinejad to defy the United States. And let me first say, I am in no way on the cutting edge of what the real things are happening between Russia and Iran, and the real things with the missile defense shield and all the politics that are going on. I don't really understand who's on whose side, you know, as far as who's doing what, because it's just, I know that I don't have enough information to make any calls on that. But I think that's interesting. Whatever way you really cut it, if this was to break into a major conflict, you would have Russia and Iran on the same side as Russia and Turkey, apparently, in their Caucasus alliance. But that's just with Russia. Let's go a little deeper here. Okay, here we have from the Sudan Tribune, August 14th, 2008, Sudan and Iran discuss ways to boost military cooperation. Okay, remember, Sudan is one of those talked about in the Ezekiel 38-39 alliance. It says, March 4th, 2008, Sudanese and Iranian delegations today started talks on military cooperation between the two countries in order to bolster bilateral military relations. During an official visit to Iran in mid-January 2007, Sudanese Defense Minister Abdelhakim Mohammed Hussein signed a military cooperation agreement with his Iranian counterpart. Okay, that's the Sudan and Iran. Now here is the Sudan and Turkey. Today's news, isn't it? August 14th, 2008. Sudan Bashir to make first trip abroad to Turkey. Sudanese President Omar Hassan al-Bashir will travel to Turkey in August, his first trip abroad since the International Criminal Court moved to indict him for genocide in Darfur, a presidential source and state media said. NATO member Turkey has not ratified the treaty forming the ICC, but was under pressure to become a member as part of negotiations to join the European Union. And that's probably because they are the biggest square miles of this pipeline have to go through Turkey. But anyway, the gist of this article is that the Sudan president, who is under, obviously, has a lot of war crimes, and is, you know, the whole big thing is if he goes to Constantinople or whatever they call it, Istanbul or whatever, if he goes there, they're wondering, are you going to arrest this guy? You know, is this a trap to arrest him because he's got all these war crimes, you know, 100,000, killed. And so they're saying, no, it's very unlikely that they're going to arrest him there. So here's this war criminal going to visit Turkey, and just, it's interesting because here we, again, it's all these people are buddy-buddy with everybody else. Sudan, Turkey, Libya, Iran, and Russia, I mean, we're all bosom buddies here all of a sudden. And these are like news stories from today, you know what I'm saying? It's not like last year, well, some of them are, but anyway, let me continue. So what about Libya? I mean, where does Libya come into this besides being a nation to the west? to, you know, obviously stand, have a position of deployment from the west of Israel, but why Libya? Here we have the reason. This is Associated Press, July 31st, 2008, Moscow. Libya's prime minister flew to Russia to meet with Prime Minister Vladimir Putin on Thursday for a second round of talks in 3 months aimed at improving gas and oil investments as well as military ties between both countries. Since dismantling its nuclear weapons program in 2003, Libya has opened itself up to foreign investment, and Russia energy companies have joined the rush to capitalize on the opportunities in the North African country, which is a major producer of oil and gas. We would also like to achieve bigger volumes in investment cooperation between Russia and Libya in the oil and gas sectors, Libyan Prime Minister al-Baghdadi Ali Mohammadi said in a televised comments after arriving in Moscow. Putin promised to do all we can to secure a favorable climate for Libyan investment in Russia. The premiers also confirmed that Libya is interested in buying arms from Russia, local news agencies reported. Okay, so there's military cooperation there, arms deals, and energy deals. But Libya is a very rich nation in a lot of natural resources, and considering that basically this entire pipeline is cutting Russia out of the deal, it's very important, I think, for Russia to... I don't know if that's a factor or not, but here's some more Libya stuff. Well, this is actually archive news from the Arms Control Association. Iran Libya Sanctions Act renewed. President George Bush signed a bill in August 3rd to renew the Iran Libya Sanctions Act for 5 years, set to expire August 5th, 5 years after it became law. Okay, this is basically sanctions on Iran and Libya. I haven't looked into this too much, but it's just weird having both of those people sanctioned. Okay. And this recent propaganda piece pretty much sums it all up from July 24th, 2008 from the New York The Sun. Obama meets Netanyahu as Russian arms Iran. Democrats praise Perez, visits with Abbas beneath portrait of Yasser Arafat. I mean, this is like all the elements here right in this one article here. Let's just read on. As Senator Obama utters some of his toughest comments on Iran to date while visiting Israel, saying all options must be on the table in addition to tough diplomacy. Tehran is preparing to fend off air attacks against its facilities by acquiring anti-air missiles from Russia. Mr. Obama, who met Jerusalem's top officials and Palestinian Arab leaders yesterday, said a nuclear Iran poses a threat to Israel, the region, and American interest. According to several participants in meetings in Israel, where Iranian issue topped his agenda, the Democratic presidential nominee did not exclude a military operation, but he clearly favored other means. Apparently fearing Israel would act even before the end of the Bush administration, Iran is boosting its air defenses with advanced Russian-made anti-aircraft systems. The first delivery of S-300 missile batteries is expected as soon as early September, an unidentified Israeli source told Reuters today. The missiles can track 100 targets at once and fire on planes 75 miles away. Flanked by aides and reporters, Illinois Senator flew by helicopter to Sderot, where fewer rockets have fallen since a recent period of calm was reached between Israel and the Iranian-backed Hamas. Okay, so trying to dissect this particular news story, it's got all the elements here. It's saying, be scared of Russia and Iran, and Obama is meeting with, you know, Netanyahu and the Palestinians, you know, saying that the biggest threat is Iran's capability to attack Israel. And this is obviously kind of, you know, saying that we need to have a preemptive kind of strike on Iran, which, you know, again, would be the kind of thing that's happening with bringing these ships over there and blockading Iran right now, which can easily, there's no other explanation for that except for that's provocateuring Iran to a war. I mean, if we had Chinese ships on our borders right now preventing us from getting certain things to make certain things, I mean, basically searching every single ship that came into our harbors, we would be like, hey, you know, China, you got to back off, you know. But this is all those hooks in the jaws, just poking and prodding these people into this attack. I mean, it seems like there is they're leaving these nations with no choice except to start World War III, which they want, because out of that chaos they can bring this new order. This phoenix can rise out of that. They can have a new world order that is anti-religion and the rest of it. And as I've said clearly many times, what I think is going to happen here is that the whole world is going to, on down the line, they're going to blame Israel. Because like you have Senator Obama here basically saying, and this is New World Order, you know, reverse psychology, 100%. They're saying, we must at all costs defend, you know, Israel. And that includes this preemptive strike, which, you know, a preemptive strike causing World War III would eventually, in the water cooler minds of everybody, say, be blamed on Israel, because it would be like, if we didn't have to defend Israel, which we don't need to go over there and defend Israel, they can take care of themselves as far as I'm concerned, then this would have never happened. Then our sons and daughters would have never been over there fighting a war. We would have never been drafted. We would have never had all these problems. It's all because we had to defend Israel. We had to defend Israel. And so all this nice talk from them about defending Israel at all costs is a setup. It's a setup to eventually blame it all on Israel and Christianity via George Bush and any American claiming to be a Christian having to go support Israel because of their religious need, you know, is all going to be blamed on that. I mean, we're going to eventually point our fingers at that and say, this is our problem, this Judeo-Christian, you know, the Islam and the Christians and the Jews, this is all our problem, never realizing that that's what we were supposed to think. They're all wearing masks. They're wearing Christian masks. They're wearing Jewish masks. They're wearing Islam masks in order to create this version of this, in order to get us to drop religion altogether so they can bring in this godless superstate. And again, I've said that a million times, so I'm just not going to go there too much anymore. But so that's where we're at. You know, I'm not telling anybody that this is what's, you know, this is the beginning of the Gog-Magog War, but we need to be aware of what it says in Ezekiel 38 and 39, and, you know, I am so open to being wrong in, like, everything on this, and if I have been clearly wrong in something, I beg you to please email me and tell me so I can correct it in the next show or previous, or you know, shows after this. My email is Chris, C-H-R-I-S, @conspiracyclose.com. Please email me any mistakes that I've made. And, you know, again, I'm not trying to say this is it, because it's not, clearly not it, but it is possibly the beginning of it. And as I said on the Frank and Chris show last night, it may be that a lot of this stuff in the Bible that we think is just going to happen someday when we see the moon turn blood red, you know, and once we see that, then we'll start, you know, acting on it. But it may be that the skies might be blue during this whole thing, and it may be that we're still going to work, and we're still, you know, it can be easily, we can be easily be deceived that this isn't what was prophesied. And I think that there's going to be a big attempt to say this isn't what was prophesied, or the age-old thing of the New World Order is just playing it like a playbook. And to that, you should say to people, if they're playing it like a playbook, how come they're calling themselves out? I mean, this is the playbook to showing you who the New World Order is and what their weaknesses are. This is not something that they would want to do. But anyway, we'll just have to see how this all works out and plays out. So I'm going to leave you with that. It's going to be kind of a short show. And if you have any questions or whatever, please email me, Chris@conspiracyclose.com. I hope to see you soon. You can go to the website and check out the show notes for this. It's going to be an important show for show notes. So go to nowheretorun.podomatic.com or conspiracyclose.com/nowheretorun. And we'll see you next time. Later.